For Illinois Issues, I'm Daisy Contreras. The spring legislative session ended without lawmakers agreeing on a budget proposal, throwing the state into its third year without proper funding. But lawmakers introduced and garnered support for a variety of bills aimed at helping women in Illinois, who generally make 79 cents for every dollar that a man makes. Women also make up 60% of the state's minimum wage workers. The Equal Pay Act bill and the minimum wage bill are both now headed to the governor's desk. For this week's Illinois Issues, we spoke to Melissa Josephs of Women Employed, who updates us on the Equal Pay Act bill and how the minimum wage bill will help women in Illinois.
Even though originally there was a bill introduced in the House and the Senate, the bill that moved was House Bill 2462. So that moved out of the House first, and then Senator Biss, who was the lead sponsor on the Senate bill that was had been introduced, filed to be the lead sponsor when it got to the Senate. So it got to the Senate, and it was voted out of the Senate on Tuesday. And so the next thing is it will be sent to the governor. And of course, we're hoping that he signs it. You know, there was great bipartisan support in the House. There was some bipartisan support in the Senate. And, you know, it's just something that makes sense. It's a really easy thing for employers to do, to stop asking questions about an applicant's prior salary history. It's unnecessary. It has nothing to do with their ability to do the job. And what's more is because, you know, on average, women are still paid less than men, 79 cents on the dollar. And a lot of that is based on, you know, unfair or discriminatory wages. So we don't want to continue perpetuating that. And there's no reason, an employer needs to know that. An employee who wants a new job may be wanting to get out of this and start working somewhere new. And so they shouldn't be burdened with what they were paying before. Nor is it necessary, because any employer who's hiring someone knows what their budget is. They can do their own market analysis, or they can go online and they can ask questions about what the applicant's experience or training or education is like. They can even ask an applicant what he or she wants to earn. They just can't ask what the person's earned before. And if the employer, perhaps sometimes they're afraid that an applicant might actually have been making maybe too much, earning too much where they were working before, and might not want to take a pay cut, let the employer give a salary range so the applicant knows, and the applicant can decide whether or not to proceed. So there are lots of ways of handling some of the concerns that employers have, but to me, this stopping asking about salary history is as simple an adjustment as when we're driving, we see a stop sign, we see a red light. A lot of people run it, but it's really easy just to stop. You know, we're just asking someone not to do something.
There was an amendment in the House that kind of gave certain exceptions as to where or when an employer can actually maybe that's already public information.
Exactly.
Can you explain a little bit on that?
Sure. So the amendment in the House, is there two times when it would be okay in a way to ask, which is in effect if the applicant's salary was a matter of public record, so they could check then, or if the applicant is applying for a job with the same employer, you know, maybe a different department, a different location, then, you know, it's within the same employer. So then those would be two times that would be okay. You earned.
And let's say the governor did sign this into law. The implementation to just kind of keep track that employers are following this.
Mm-hmm.
I read that there were some costs, like the Department of Revenue and the Department of Labor said that they would have to hire an extra person to oversee. So that's why the Department of Labor was opposed, just because of the cost associated with hiring an extra person to oversee that, this isn't implemented.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have an idea of how this might end up working at the end?
I don't think there are going to be a lot of claims that are filed for a variety of reasons. And actually, one of the things we want to do when the governor signs it and becomes law is to do a lot of outreach and education to let not only employers know they should stop asking, but also for applicants to know they don't have to answer and they can engage in a discussion. It's not like I expect someone to, you can't call the police anyhow, but, you know, to like file a charge right away when you're on an interview if someone asks the question. Of course, you're not going to do that. You want to engage and you want to get the job, but ultimately you should feel comfortable enough not having to reveal this information when it becomes law. And if, as a result of you not revealing the information, you don't get the job and you feel, okay, they violated the law by asking and then, you know, not giving me the job, sure, there could be some, you know, complaints filed, but I think the Department of Labor, you know, overestimates, you know, filing a lawsuit, even filing a complaint with the Department of Labor is an expense in many ways, and not only finding a lawyer to represent you, but the time, you know, taking away, you know, someone's time to file a complaint and the emotional cost. So I think we're going to, when the law gets signed into law, do outreach to let employers and employees know to try and prevent any violations. As I said at the beginning, it's just such an easy thing to comply with. All you're doing is not asking. And I will say there are a lot of places of employment that commonly did this. It was written as part of the policy. These are the kind of questions we ask. And it is as simple as drawing a line through it, just removing this one thing, not asking. Again, being able to ask an applicant what they want to earn or give a salary range and having discussions, but this is one very simple adjustment.
The story that I wrote in March, a lot of my research pointed to one of the reasons that women make less than men is because there's this minimum wage that doesn't allow women to get out of poverty. Can you speak a little bit about what, for example, the bill that passed both Senate and the House this session about raising the minimum wage to $15 per hour, mm-hmm. How would that help women in Illinois?
Right. So the first thing about how this minimum wage will affect women is that the majority of minimum wage workers are women. It's 60%. And in addition, most of these are adult workers, and they are supporting themselves and oftentimes their family. So currently, if a woman is supporting herself and two children at the current $8.25 an hour, if she works full-time, she's making about $17,000 a year, which is less than the federal poverty level for the family of three, which is about $20,000. So this minimum wage law, which will eventually get to $15 an hour over 5 years, that translates annually for a full-time worker to more like $30,000 a year. And so it's important that that workers get this increase in response to a lot of the business that says, oh, we're going to have to lay people off, we're not going to be able to afford it. When people get an increase, especially if you're a lower wage worker, if all you're able usually to spend it on are the bare necessities, if you're getting a somewhat higher wage, you're likely to spend it, you know, on things like maybe going out to eat or maybe finally being able to buy a car or go on vacation. So that money is going back, you know, into the marketplace. And so those businesses that are paying their workers, well, customers are coming in.
Well, you know, if right now we're starting our third year without a budget, how is this going to continue hurting women and their families? I mean, we've already seen a lot of that.
Mm-hmm. Right, and so not having a budget in so many ways. So one of the things Women Employed does is we work on access to higher education, so people can get trained, lead to, you know, better paying jobs. And every day you're reading about schools that are, you know, public schools that have to lay people off. You know, we're looking at women who work for not-for-profits and their organizations aren't getting the state funding they need, so they're out of jobs. So it's bigger than just increasing the minimum wage. You know, we have to get a budget so that we can operate. You know, we just keep getting more and more into debt. So it's very, very, it's very frustrating in terms of jobs and going to school, in getting, you know, supports. So I am speechless.
For Illinois Issues, I'm Daisy Contreras. For more information, go to illinoisissues.org.